Alabama loses more players to the transfer portal. Are they in trouble? Wake Forest head coach Dave Clawson announces he's stepping down, and Tim Brando joins us to preview the college football playoff and see if college football needs a czar. Check it out and more on the Tuesday edition. Cranny Cup. Hey, everybody, listen, and we appreciate you guys. Hope you're ready for the holidays and ready to have a Merry Christmas. It doesn't matter whether you listen to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, please leave us a five-star review and keep sharing the show. Alabama is a massive brand in college football. They have incredible tradition, and they will always have the potential to be elite. But after seeing what is happening to them on the field and in the transfer portal, adding on that Nick Saban's not there anymore, it does seem that they are at an inflection point. Are they sitting at a fork in the road, deciding which way to go? On one side, you can keep the train rolling and stay national relevant by winning, obviously on the field. Down the other path leads you to coming back to the pack of the rest of the big dogs and just being another great place to play, but not the place to play. Now, DeBoer needs more time. He's going to bring in players that'll fit his system, and the jury's still out. But 2025 is shaping up to be a bridge to what Alabama is going to be next. I remember growing up, everybody wanted to go to Destin for spring break. It was the place to be. But about halfway through my college experience, it kind of seemed to fall off, and it turned into just another good spot amongst many. Alabama can't turn into Destin without there being massive repercussions to the current regime in Tuscaloosa, which means Kalen DeBoer. They're still recruiting really well. The roof isn't caving in. They're going to have another top-notch roster next year. But if the brand doesn't start recapturing that elite on-the-field success, Alabama could find themselves a lot like Destin. Just another fun place to go, but not the mecca of the college football elite party. David Cohn, former Michigan quarterback, my brother, former Western State Colorado wide receiver, Blaine Crane. David, the jury is still out on Alabama. It's an incredible place. You look at the way they're recruiting. Alabama fans aren't going to stop going to the games. They're not going to stop funneling money into that program. But at what point and how many years of not making the playoff, and I know they didn't win a national championship the last 3 years under Nick Saban, but how many years can this go on before they start just coming back to the pack, or are they already coming back to the pack?
Okay, so every day I've gotten on my phone for the past week, I've seen some top player from all the schools and all the programs in the country is entering the transfer portal. The reason it catches our attention when we see that it's Alabama is a few reasons. One, it's always accompanied with former five-star player, right? That gets our attention because not every program has a bunch of five-stars on their roster. Alabama signs a bunch of five-star players. So a lot of the guys who transfer out and enter the transfer portal, they're going to be former very high recruits, right? The second reason is because we didn't see this under Nick Saban, but I think we would have, right? Like, this is the way college football is going. And I think this is one of the reasons, I mean, Nick Saban didn't tell me this personally, but I think this is one of the reasons that Nick Saban did retire because of this aspect of the game, like he got tired of seeing. And so maybe there is an element that, you know, Alabama is going to falter and players, maybe some of these players wanted to commit and play for Nick Saban and he's no longer there. And so they're leaving and Kalen DeBoer doesn't have a handle on what's going on. But I think more of it is just this is the current state of college football, and Alabama's going to have to deal with that as well. And then the final point of this is for every player that you see entering the transfer portal from Alabama, they're going to be signing some kid who's entering the transfer portal from another school, and we're going to have to do what we do with all of these programs at the end of the day or at the end of the closing of the transfer portal window is determine who got better and who got worse because we have to evaluate the roster in totality.
And I agree with everything you said. I want to make sure that I'm nuanced in what I'm saying here. The transfer portal is going to affect everybody. It does affect everybody. You have some guys in the past, remember the getting processed? It used to be you just got cut. Hmm. Like Nick Saban would cut guys. There were people at other, especially when he took over the job and he was trimming the fat. But now you can hop into the portal. So sometimes, again, players are going to go in the portal. That's not necessarily a bad thing for the program that they're leaving, right? It's just an avenue for them to get out outside of being cut or something happened off the field, whatever. It's not just, when I look at Alabama, that players are entering the portal. It's who is entering the portal. and the importance of some of these guys. And to the point of Nick Saban would have guys leave. Yes, we saw guys leave in the transfer portal, even when Nick Saban was there. But it's the stability factor with Alabama. Alabama has been one of the most consistent big dogs in college football when it comes to recruiting, on-field success, and just that stability of, you know, you're going to get a really good product 99% of the time. Is that now faltering? Blaine, I'll kick this over to you. Is that now faltering because without Saban, Alabama isn't in that air or have that aura that they used to, and they're just going to have to go through the churning like everybody else? You're just another one of the top dogs. That's my point.
I just think this, I somewhat agree with David. I think this would have happened the same way under Nick Saban. The days of dynasties are over. You're not going to have Trent Richardson as your third string running back anymore. You're not going to be able to stack a certain amount of depth with a certain amount of talent because guys will get paid to go other places. And I think this is the reason Nick Saban retired. This is why Nick Saban got out of the game. And the real question is, either with the guy, even with the guys that Alabama's losing, they will replace, but there's certain guys you can't replace no matter how hard you try. And we can talk about the guys who have already gotten the transfer portal, but the big smoke, and when there's smoke, there's fire, is around Ryan Williams right now at Alabama. His best friend, supposedly the cornerback that just got into the portal, and now Mbakwe. The different guy went to Notre Dame, Devontae Smith, but that's the one you can't replace. That's the one that'll hurt Bama and Kalen DeBoer. If they lose Ryan Williams, now it's a whole nother level of shadow that gets cast over that team and that program.
Well, I've been mentioning this since about halfway through the season because I had somebody tell me that there's interest, and again, this is alleged, but it's somebody that I trust, that there's interest in Oregon for Ryan Williams. And this is something that I told you guys about a long time ago, before a live stream that I had been told. And you know, at the time, you're like, it's wacky, this would never happen. And to your point, guys, I'm not arguing that Alabama's not going to be affected by the transfer portal. But you brought up the point, Blaine, of, well, guys are going to follow the money. If Nick Saban, Alabama's got money. Let's first off say that. They don't have Oregon money or Michigan money, but they've got money. I think the difference is with a guy like Mbakwe, maybe somebody did offer him more money. But is that $200,000, $300,000 worth leaving Nick Saban, who could literally stamp you into the NFL like he had done with so many other guys? I think there would be the benefit of the doubt more with Alabama still if Nick Saban was there. And players, especially the primetime players, would be less likely to transfer because Nick Saban is such a big brand himself. He calls up a couple NFL GMs. Look how many guys he's put in the league that are balling. Just turn on the TV on Sunday. They're still all there. He calls one GM and says, hey, I'm telling you, this kid's the next up. He's a great kid, this, that, and the other. That's worth its weight in gold. So not saying Alabama wouldn't have lost anybody under Nick Saban, but it's who they're losing, and it is, do they have the benefit of the doubt not now that Nick Saban is not there? Or is it looked at like Alabama, great place, but man, look at all these other great places. Kalen DeBoer isn't better, that doesn't look better than Kirby Smart. Kalen DeBoer right now, you can make an argument. I'd take Steve Sarkisian over Kalen DeBoer right now if we're going to talk about brand and people that you know, really move the needle with some of these kids. And I'm not trying to say Kalen can't do it at Bama. But 2025, if they win 9 games, don't make the college football playoff, that's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. At what point does Bama being so good for so long and Nick Saban being the greatest college football coach of all time and Bama this and Bama that and Bama this and Bama that, eventually when does that fall back to the pack and they're just looked at like one of the many big names in the crowd?
I wonder what kind of factor offensive tackle Caden Proctor is playing in the locker room right now. Remember last offseason, he enters the transfer portal, commits to Iowa, shows up at Iowa, enters the transfer portal from there, comes back to Alabama, says, man, it wasn't worth it. I wish I had done that. I wonder if he is a voice for guys in the locker room saying, hey, be careful what you wish for and be careful with this mindset of the grass is greener somewhere else.
Yeah, no, look, there's so many different circumstantial situations that happen throughout the roster fluctuation, but all of that affects the culture of that locker room. Like, we can sit here and say, well, we talked about the Penn State kid getting in the portal yesterday. He had to because of the timing. That's a circumstance. Everybody understands that. The locker room guys look around and they're like, I get that. I understand why you had to do that. But when you have a situation like Proctor, where somebody decides, hey, this isn't what I want, I'm going to go somewhere I think's better, then they say, oh, wait, like you said, the grass isn't greener, I'm coming back. Does that mean it's just an open door policy? If you're a good player, you can just leave and come back or whatever. I'm telling you right now, I don't think Nick Saban would have taken him back. I don't think Nick Saban would have taken him back in a heartbeat. at all. I believe that. And again, I don't know Saban personally. And I do want to say this before we get to the chat. This is not a you hate Alabama or you love Alabama or you're an Auburn fan and you're an LSU fan and you hate Alabama. This is not Bama is burning. That's Moscona's thing. I'm going to let him do that. We keep it straight up here. We call it how we see it. If it's good for our team, if it's bad for our team, if it's bad for the team we hate or good for the team we hate, that's why I want just, you know, as many logical responses as we can get, because it's a good debate and discussion and it's a compliment to Alabama because of what they've done in the past. And the standard is still the same, I think, in the eyes of Alabama fans. Mm-hmm. That's a whole other argument when it comes down to that on-the-field success as well. So that's why I bring it up.
How much do you think Alabama not making the playoff has affected towards this?
Well, I think what it does is it gives ammunition for negative recruiting against them. It gives ammunition for what I just opened the show with. That, hey, not that Alabama's made the playoff every single year. They've made it most years. But a 12-team? A changing of the guard from your legendary head coach to this new guy where there is a lot of questions. And like I've said, Alabama fans don't care how many games Kalen DeBoer won at Sioux Falls. They don't care how many games he won at Washington. They don't care if he beat Oregon at Washington. It is what have you done for the Alabama fans? And so far, you have shown up. You didn't make the playoff. You didn't win the SEC championship. You beat LSU and you beat Auburn, which is looked at very highly in the eyes of Alabama fans. And you beat Georgia as well. But you didn't. You're not getting a ring this year other than a what? A bowl ring in the Midas Touch My Card
Okay, it's the ReliaQuest bowl.
Excuse me,
okay,
the ReliaQuest bowl.
I will have disrespect for the
ReliaQuest. Yeah, you're going on a quest to Relia.
Is your question, though, if they were still in contention for a ring, would some of these players not have entered the portal?
Yes.
Is that what you were asking?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, I mean, again, I don't know every circumstance,
yeah,
but
I
would
either.
Think probably not. Some more would have stayed to play in there. I would assume that. But again, we can talk about the transfer portal and whether you like it or whether you don't like it. We talked about the lack of structure and the screwed up timing of the calendar. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is Alabama has been the Walmart of college football. They have been the General Electric of college football. And they were operated by the most powerful man in college football. I'm telling you right now, if Nick Saban was the head coach, Alabama would have gotten the playoff over SMU. I'll believe that to my dying day. But when you mix that with the lack of having that big dog at a place like Alabama, does it bring them back to the pack? Not that they're in the middle class. They're still rich as hell. They're still driving a Tesla around. They maybe even have a couple robots walking around the house. But they're not the richest. They're not the Bezos of the neighborhood anymore. So to me, that's the question I'm asking. I think it's a legitimate question. But let's get to the chat and see what.
All right, Chad, hit that like, hit that subscribe button. If you donate on topic, it will get read. We're going to start off the day with a $5 donation from Clay. Appreciate it, Clay. It says, with the portal, NIL, and everything else in athletics now, do y'all think we're losing sight of the core part of college sports, the college aspect?
Yes. Well, I mean, if you're talking about the purity of the game, like just playing for the love of the game, yes, obviously that's been affected. But I'll go back to what we've said multiple times on this show. You know what? And you're looking at it from the point of what's best for the person attending the college. Well, the people that work at the college, the people that own the land the college is on, the big dogs in this, colleges are built to make money. That's what they're built to do. It is a money-making business. So to me, we look at all the stuff that's happening in academics across the country right now, from Ivy League to public schools to all that stuff, and you can see that it is about making money, whatever makes the most money. It's the same thing in college football. So we can talk about purity, and I would love for everybody just to love the sport so much they'd be willing to play for free, right? And I think a lot of guys that are making money love the sport too. But the purity of this thing is gone. Guys have been getting paid before this anyway. Now NIL is just public. But all the stuff together, the conference realignment, the transfer portal, the COVID protocols, all that stuff, I think, has just been another way for this industry to make money. And look at the money they're making. Look at the money they're about to make. So the purity argument, we can always have it. I don't think it's nearly as high as what some people thought it was before NIL, but it has taken a hit, obviously.
Yeah, no doubt. And to me, the argument is not even so much as like the players get paid money now versus they shouldn't get paid a single dime, right? Like we've always talked about, if you have a skill set that commands
for sure.
A certain transaction, like that's worth something.
Capital.
But there is something to be said about the elimination of a need for the education side of this. The biggest complaint that I have, and I wish a lot of these guys knew this, is how few players can actually play professional football. Mm-hmm. I understand when every single college coach is coming after you and recruiting you and telling you all these things, like you think you're going to go to the NFL? I know, because I did too. I thought I was going to play in the NFL. You're the best football player that's ever come from your hometown. But I'm just telling you, so few guys can play professionally. And even if you do make the NFL, the average lifespan is 2.2 years. By the time you get a car and you buy your mama a car and you get a house and your kids are in private school, you have no money. By the time your agent takes a cut, like, that money's gone. And you played for what, a season or two, even if you did make it to the NFL. The real education there is the people that you meet, you know, the school that you go to, like, that seems to not be invested anymore into these kids. And the colleges themselves are not helping themselves by diluting the curriculum that they're offering at a lot of these places.
But isn't part of it, too, just natural selection of, if you're not smart enough to realize that this degree could end up making you more money or it's a great fail-safe, then that's on you?
Yeah,
like, you can't, and again, I'm not saying you don't try and help everybody. I wish everybody thought that way. But there is a natural selection process to being given an opportunity, you not realizing the potential and what really is the most consistent thing you could have in that opportunity. And then when it all falls apart, you're left with nothing. Mm-hmm. Like, we see this in every walk of life. It's not just sports, right? It's people who go to law school that become lawyers. It's dentists. It's all type of stuff. At the end of the day, if you are not smart enough, or you do not have, or you don't have the wherewithal to be smart enough to know what you don't know, and having people around you that you know have your best interest in their minds and in their hearts telling you, hey, listen, you got a chance to play in the NFL. We're all rooting on you to play in the NFL. We really are. But the odds of that happening, right, 3-4 years from now are a lot slimmer than if you go play at UCLA and you get this degree, you can make they'll never take that degree away from you. A torn ACL don't take that degree away from you. Tommy John surgery don't take that degree away from you if you're a baseball player. So if you're not smart enough to realize that, then you know what, buddy? You're taking that risk. It's just like anything. You want to go buy the pack of cigarettes and smoke them? Okay, you can do that. That's your prerogative. But don't be surprised if something bad happens to you down the road because you didn't recognize the fault in your actions.
That's why, Blaine, it seemed like Ashton Jeanty, the way that he represented himself in the school, that used to be a standard for college football players for a long time. Now it's sort of an anomaly, you know, saying, well, yeah, I could have transferred, but I wanted to stay loyal to Boise State. Yeah, I wanted to wear their gear when I went to the Heisman Trophy ceremony. That seems to be a thing of the past, and I hate that because he's a good steward of college football.
Yeah, it makes you just
college football
really authentic. All right, let's go to Matthew Greer. What's up, Matt? He says, all this transfer NIL has essentially caused me to not watch college sports anymore, and I even gave up on my season tickets.
Oh, don't do that, man. The on-the-field product's still so good. I mean, you know, we can talk about the grievances we have, and it's not this way and it's not that way. I'm still going to watch it because I love it, and there's still some really good things and some great stories. Don't let the negative stuff outweigh some of the positive stuff. And we try and bring the positive side of it, too. You know, we talked about the kid from Michigan State and the NIL and how that's being used. There's a lot of good that is going on within the sport. So don't let it totally dismiss your interest. Don't let it take you away because I'm telling you, turn the games on. Even tonight, Memphis, West Virginia is going to be a heck of a game. It just is what it is. But speaking about elite, all right, with the holidays approaching, all right, we know the precious moments around the table with loved ones. We love doing that, sharing meals. Those are the memories, you know, that last the longest and you know, hit us in the heartstrings, I guess. But finding the perfect holiday meal, it can be stressful. All right, we know the grocery store crowds are crazy. All right, you worry about your meat quality. It could dampen anybody's holiday spirit. Let me tell you about Good Ranchers. All right, we've used this for multiple years. Literally had some. The wife made some of the ground beef last night. It is fantastic. They're the best American meat delivery company in the world and the United States, obviously, hence the name American. But they got an exclusive holiday offer for you as well. When you subscribe to any Good Ranchers box using our code Booster, you'll get a chance to choose a free gift of chicken breast, ground beef, bacon, or salmon included in every box for a year, plus $25 off and free express shipping when you visit goodranchers.com. Use promo code Booster today and treat yourself and your loved one to the convenience and quality of American meat. Good Ranchers, American meat delivered. All right, we got Tim Brando coming on here in 9 minutes. The phone line is going to open up here at 2:45 p.m. Central, 1-855-236-3228. Make sure you give us a buzz. Let's go and get to a little rapid fire here, though, Dave.
All right, first one up. Yesterday, we talked a little bit about Norfolk State's interest in Michael Vick becoming their head coach. Sounds like Sacramento State is interested as well. Hold on, I'm just pulling this article up because, yes, so Sacramento State interested in hiring Michael Vick, and they've pumped a lot of money into the facilities and the football program and NIL. What's even now become, over the last 24 hours, a bigger story than Sacramento State's interest in Michael Vick is Adam Schefter reporting on this, and there was a couple different
Didn't him and Doug Gottlieb? Doug Gottlieb, or something?
I decided not to. Doug Gottlieb quote tweeted Adam Schefter saying you shouldn't be reporting these sources unless you're 100% sure about it, which is funny to me because Doug Gottlieb had the whole Freddie Freeman
Rage fiasco.
But there's even a squabble with Sacramento Bee reporter Joe Davidson saying that a lot of this wasn't correct. Either way, it sounds like there is interest in Michael Vick to be the Sacramento State head coach, even though he's not been officially hired, which was some of the rumor.
Well, here's where I stand on the Michael Vick situation. I would have no problem if Sacramento State said, you know what, with what happened in the past, we can't hire you, man, or anybody saying, hey, with what went down, we can't take that chance. But if somebody is going to take a chance on Michael Vick, and from everything I've heard and seen, he's obviously turned his life around. He understands the error of his ways. Maybe the best thing he could do to remedy the situation that got him in that hot water is to be able to affect people for the good and take on this role and be a leader of young men. And do, maybe that is the best remedy. Maybe that's the best way to come back, like a phoenix rising from the ashes, right? Michael, we know Michael Vick knows football. He was one of the most electric players, one of the most fun players to watch, not only in the NFL, but at Virginia Tech. That's where I think some of the coolest stuff went down with Michael Vick. Maybe this is the best way to remedy that, and I'm rooting for him. I'm not going to be one of these people that says, you know what? This happened. It was awful. You never deserve another chance. There's levels that I can't get past with some things, and I'm as big of an animal lover as anybody, but maybe this is the best way to remedy everything that went down to try and turn a positive out of it and go affect people for the good. So I'm rooting for him. I hope if he does get hired, I would understand if they didn't hire him, but if he does get hired, I'm rooting for him and hope he does.
You like the idea of Michael Vick, head coach, college football?
No, I don't. I think Michael Vick's a great player. Other people can forgive you, but I don't. I don't know how you're going to be a leader of men, to be honest, after you just did all that. You fought dogs for how long? So, you know, I'm all for a redemption story. Other people forgive, but I don't. I don't think this guy should be a head coach anywhere.
I can understand that sentiment. I can understand that.
All right, a little bit of breaking news here. So USC star wide receiver Zachariah Branch plans to enter the NCAA transfer portal. Now, this comes on the heels of Kyren Hudson already entered. So USC
and Hudson ended up at Penn State? Or at least that's where it's looking?
Sounds like it's Penn State, but that means that USC's top two wide receivers, Kyren Hudson to Penn State, USC's top two wide receivers from this season, gone.
Well, Miller Moss went to Louisville, too. I don't know if people saw that, which I think's a great fit. Brom will do wonders there. Last week, we talked about heading into 2025, there's going to be more big-name coaches at big-name places that might be on the chopping block or have to show proof of concept on the field. For the first time in a while, because that's something with a lot of these big-time guys you never had to worry about, right? With Lincoln Riley, they were going to win 10 games, right? So it wasn't like he wasn't winning games. Maybe he wasn't winning the right ones to win a national championship, and that was the bugaboo, kind of in the situation Ryan Day's in a little bit right now. But if you're USC, when you look at all these problems, when you look at them entering the Big Ten and what Oregon did in their first year winning it, going undefeated, right? I mean, what level of heat is Lincoln Riley on next year with that mega contract that he has at a place in USC that is steeped in tradition as well, that does love their college football, that expects great things from that place? I mean, what happens if he goes 6-6 next year? Mm-hmm. What happens if it falls apart again? What happens if you don't have, and they beat LSU to start off this year. You know, they beat LSU in game one. We're like, hey guys, watch out. USC may be a little bit of an underdog story heading into the Big Ten this year. Not that we thought they were going to be bad, but they may really be able to make some things shake. I mean, if you're Lincoln Riley, I think you got to be a little worried right now.
All right, next one up here. Wake Forest head coach Dave Clawson has stepped down. Is this the type of job? You know, we talked about Jamie Chadwell ending up in the ACC at some point with his roots there close to Carolina. Is this the type of job that Jamie Chadwell would be interested in, or is Liberty even a better situation right now?
I mean, when you look at the money that Liberty pays, number one, I don't think people realize how much money Liberty pays their head coaches. It's on par with, I mean, it's in a different stratosphere than a lot of the group of fives. You know, if I was Jamie Chadwell, and again, every job is circumstantial, and I don't want to sound disrespectful when I say this. Why? Why would I waste all this equity I built up to go to Wake Forest? I can understand why Billy Napier at ULL, or, you know, UL now, whatever you want to call it, built up that equity in Florida, came calling, he answered. I get answering Florida, but if you're Jamie Chadwell, you've done this group of five thing for a while, you built up Coastal Carolina, You elevated yourself and upgraded yourself, at least financially, by going to Liberty. You've had success at Liberty. You're waiting on that Power Four job. To me, I think Wake Forest may be one of the first places on the chopping block when we go to this Super League to not be invited. That's a quote-unquote Power Four team right now. So, yeah, I could go to Wake Forest and win 8 games, win 9 games, screw around every once 3 to 4 years, maybe make a little bit run toward the top of the ACC and be fine. But I don't think that's what Jamie Chadwell wants. Mm-hmm. To me, this is a job where if you're a younger coordinator and you want a chance to maybe skip the line to be a head coach in the Power Four without having to spend all this time as a Group of Five head coach, I could totally see you taking this.
I heard they have an offer out to Blaine Crane.
They do. Well, I think Blaine wants Nate Oates to get it.
Yeah, I think everything I can do to get Nate Oates out of Tuscaloosa, I've been trying for years. I don't know what else I can do.
All right, Washington State quarterback John Mateer. We've been talking about him for several weeks now. It sounded like Oklahoma, right? Like that's where the smoke has been for a while. But new rumors now for John Mateer.
Well, his offensive coordinator, you know, Arbuckle went to Oklahoma. Who replaced, you know, Coach Luttrell up there as the OC. So you would think, hey, offensive coordinator leaves.
Yeah.
Quarterback just hopped in the portal. He's got to go with this guy. You got to keep the band together, right? Lance Bass is nothing without NSYNC. You got to keep him together. He ain't Timberlake. Uh-huh. You know what I'm saying? So you would think that. But then all of a sudden you start hearing reports of, and tell me where you've heard this before, a Washington State quarterback transferring to Miami?
Just happened.
Like, it's, and again, I'm not saying that I have any inside information that Mateer is going to go to Miami, not Oklahoma. I would still bet on Oklahoma just because of the connection with the offensive coordinator. But is there any part of him that's looking at this Cam Ward situation? You're like, all right, Cam Ward left Washington State, went to Miami. He's going to be one of the top quarterbacks taken, mm-hmm. right? You look at that offense with Shannon Dawson, who's a really, really good offensive coordinator as well. He's going to put me in a position to throw for a lot of yards, make explosive plays. We're going to have good athletes around me. Not that he didn't at Washington State, but this is a new level at Miami. Or compared to Oklahoma, where, you know, we know last year offensively it was a struggle a little bit. Would this be a better option? Should I follow the path that Cam Ward took, but I can one-up him? I can make the ACC.
Yeah, they didn't make the play.
I can make the college football play. Hell, Cone, I could possibly win the Heisman. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't count it out because that path, while it is new, right? And typically, you know, that road gets paved and it's new. It's at its nicest point. Maybe Miami could slip in there, but my money's still on Oklahoma.
And John Mateer is the number one player in the transfer
portal. Without a doubt, he is the best quarterback that has hopped in the transfer portal.
I just want to know who keeps getting all these quarterbacks to Washington State.
That's the real question.
Who's that guy?
Yeah, a guy
who needs to get in the portal. A buddy.
I know a place you can go.
Wake Forest is.
I mean,
yeah. I know a place you can go right now.
He's got the Midas touch. Everything he touches turns to gold.
Yeah, he's a fantastic evaluator. That is definitely for sure. But speaking about evaluation, if you got a diet, all right, you're looking in the mirror and you're like, wait a minute, my evaluation is not good. Let me tell you about a multivitamin that can supplement your diet, keep you healthy, and has 33 key ingredients that support your immune system, sharpen your brain, and keep your heart and muscle strong. And it's made here right in the USA. It's a Daily Wire's venture company. It's not outsourced, no cheap imports, just good old-fashioned American quality like the kind of football we love. And that is Responsible Man. And they got nice minty vitamins, too. I always say this every time we read this ad. You know, typically the vitamins stink. They smell like you found them in the back of a bookshelf in a humane society that's closing. But these are minty and they're really good. And right now you can take advantage of Responsible Man's sale and get 30% off your order plus an additional $20 off your first shipment when you head over to ResponsibleMan.com and you use code Booster at checkout. But hurry, this deal won't last long. Remember, gentlemen, a strong America needs strong men and strong men start with Responsible Man. That's ResponsibleMan.com, code Booster. Get that 30% off. And it may even help you hit a golf ball straight. And speaking about hitting golf balls straight, our next guest, he may be left-handed, but he can cook it on the fairway. From the Chateau, our good buddy, Timmy B. Tim Brando, what is up, dog?
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
I love when you break into song right off the bat. That's how I know it's going to be a good day. How's it going?
Good. It's going great. I've got one more basketball tilt to do. Unfortunate timing for me because it's a great game. With Rick Pitino going back to Providence where he took Billy the Kid Donovan to the Final Four long before you guys were born in 87. But the Johnnies in Providence is a pretty doggone good game. It's going to be on, unfortunately, opposite Notre Dame in Indiana. My buddy Sean McDonough's got that game. So, but it's a Friday night tilt. I'll get home on Saturday morning early. And like everybody else, I will be – feet up, toddy in hand, watching ball all day long on the 21st. So
somewhere
it's not all bad. It's not all bad.
Somewhere George Washington's smiling. I just need St. John's to cover tonight against DePaul. That's all I ask. And the -10.5. Timmy B, look, I want to get to the college football playoff. Obviously, you know, we haven't talked to you since the announcement of who got in, and that's been the biggest discussion. We've talked about the structure. But James Franklin came out and said something that I think most people that love the sport want. And he kind of hinted at there needs to be a czar of college football. Like some head of the totem pole, you know, top of the tilt
Let's see, who was saying that? Is it going to be Greg?
Yeah, I know you've been saying it, but
25 years ago.
Yeah, you look, you've been saying it way before James Franklin had. But do you think whether it's within the structure and the realm we live in now, or if that Super League gets formed, you know, 50, 60 teams, whatever, will we have a college football czar, and who will it be?
Well, it will only happen when we do have, I think, some Super League formed. You know, that's the good and the bad of this. Do I want to see a czar? Yeah. Do I want to see the Big Ten and SEC totally break away and leave everybody else in the dust? No, I don't want that. There needs to be a way that we can make sure that those teams that are performing either in the Big 12 and the ACC that are not big names can be protected, and that those teams that are playing, by example, in the newly formed Pac-12, which will include, as you know, Boise State, UNLV. It's one of the reasons why Mullen, I think, took that job, is because that's a, you know, you got a pathway if you're at those places now to say, okay, we can play for it all. You know, Coach Pete got his team to a New Year's Six, but, you know, he was one bad kick away against Nevada in 2010 from playing for the BCS. The BCS actually gave schools like that a better shot than the playoff did, because you took away the brand name factor. It was computers. It wasn't human beings that have biases that were in control. But we got to find a way to get everybody that wants to spend X amount of money on college football to be a part of it. It doesn't need to be an SEC Big Ten affair. That, to me, they got to solve that issue. But we've needed a czar for a long time. The NCAA has also got to get off of its ass, okay, and prove that they are a part of the solution, not part of the problem, because right now they are a major problem. You can't have the portal open when it is, when these games are where they are. My hometown bowl here just got absolutely thrown onto the bus when Marshall's entire team decided to vacate the premises when they let their when just because Marshall's president didn't want to pay the coach the same amount of money that Southern Miss was going to pay him. So they all just hit the portal. There's no team to play. One lost team that was going to play Army, both conference champions and in the Independence Bowl. That was really unfortunate. Now they did the only thing they could do, scurry to get a team that would help them bring a gate. We gotta figure those things out. I realize those games are nothing but glorified exhibitions, but they mean a lot to the communities that are putting them on. They mean a lot to the players. Trust me, I talk to players all the time that played in the so-called meaningless bowls that have been trashed since the advent of the playoff. And those guys remember those games. They do. They're etched in their gray matter forever. We've got to find a way to do it. You know, there's a lot of cleanup here, okay? We can't have the shrapnel of the explosiveness of what's transpired in our sport. Much of it's good, but a lot of it's bad. And we got to fix those things. A czar could help us do that. But I don't think it's going to happen, to answer your question, until we get some semblance of reorganization to the entire sport. That can happen, okay, once we get some involvement, all right, from leaders just beyond those selfish leaders that are running the conferences. I've not seen anything yet, okay, from either Sankey or Petiti to indicate to me that right now their concerns aren't just about their schools and their leagues. Now, I think both could do it, but neither one have been given, I think, clearances from the presidents that they serve to be thinking globally about where we're going with college
football.
It's going to take a while. It's going to take a while.
Yeah, I'll fall. We'll fall on the sword here at Crane and Company. We'll just combine to form the Mega Ranger, and we'll be the Czars, Coney.
Well, yeah. First
there are a lot of good guys that could do it. There are a lot of good guys that could do it. Jack Ford could do it. Oliver Luck could do it. If you don't know who Jack Ford is, look him up. He's a lifetime member of the National Football Foundation. Was a Yale defensive back, magna cum laude guy. Okay, he did mornings on when Good Morning America was watchable. He did the weekends. He's a really talented and bright guy that understands what college football really means. Oliver Luck would be fantastic. He always, I thought, had a big picture viewpoint. Doesn't have to be just, you know, Saban. Yeah. Although Nick could be very helpful. Nick could be very helpful if he was put in a position like that. But to this point, all he's done, and I think the world of Nick as a coach and as a person, I do. But all he's done to this point is project what the company line at ESPN's been about. And that is the rich get richer. And if you don't have top 25 wins, screw off. Well, I'm sorry, Nick. That's pretty damn self-serving. You know, it's easy to be perceived as the greatest as a head coach. But, you know, when you talk about analyzing the game, you need to be thinking about the big picture of the game. And it wasn't as bad. The last game day was not as bad as the one a year ago. But did you guys notice what I noticed on that day when Booger McFarland opened up talking about what the headline was? Is it going to be SMU? Or will it be Alabama's brand? And as he's doing that, Herb Street's rolling his eyes, and everybody on that set, along with Herbie, went after Booger immediately. I saw it, and it spoke volumes to me. Now, they didn't get what they want. SMU got in. Thankfully, some on that committee stayed up late and decided not to take their food and their caviar up to the room. They decided to eat and watch the second half.
Oh, Timmy B, first off, congratulations on an awesome regular season with your new partner, Devin Gardner. I'm a big fan of both of you guys. It was a lot of fun to watch you all season. Talking about the situation there with SMU and Alabama, we haven't gotten a chance to speak to you since then. You know, after SMU got in over some of those bubble teams, Alabama, Ole Miss, South Carolina, Miami, many people came out. Shane Beamer was one of them. Greg Byrne at Alabama, Greg Sankey talking about the strength of schedule. Well, we need to move forward and just play, you know, the weakest, lowest level competition possible. Even for the most part, that's what those teams were doing this season outside of Clemson and Wisconsin as some other Power Four opponents. But what are your overall thoughts on how we move forward? Because the discussion became, okay, well, either the conference championship loser, you know, no one's going to want to play in the conference championship game, or no one's going to want to play any Power Four competition during the regular season. I just want all your unfiltered thoughts on how this whole thing played out in the last week.
First off, when the Southeastern Conference commissioner and the athletic director, Greg Byrne, who, by the way, I have tremendous respect for, I've known Greg forever, when he says, well, we're going to really have to rethink that non-conference schedule. Really? Really? Who'd you play non-conference besides Wisconsin? You know, not a vintage Wisconsin team either. You didn't make it because you lost badly in your league. You lost conference games. Your non-conference schedule had zip to do with the circumstances you faced. Okay? If you went to a clinic for acne, okay, that game against Oklahoma was like the world's biggest zit that somebody just punctured and it just blew up right on everyone's television set for the world to see. That's why you didn't get in, Alabama. Okay, it wasn't because your non-conference schedule was just too tough. Okay, good. You scheduled Wisconsin. That's nice. And I know the Big Ten and the SEC are going to do more of these, and I think that's wonderful. It's I think in a lot of ways a cooperative effort to bolster the networks that are going to be paying for all that revenue sharing coming up. And no one's paying more right now than the worldwide leader and Fox, the company I work for. But, I mean, listen, of those three teams that had three losses, Shane Beamer had the best case to make based on the way his team played in the second half of the season. I would argue that Ole Miss, from a talent standpoint, even though there's no answer, I'm sorry, Lane, no answer for the way you played against Kentucky, okay, and there's no answer for the way you didn't get it done against the Florida team that was just trying to scratch to the surface of what they could possibly be. You lost those games. They hurt you big time, and they happened late in the year. Alabama, only because of their brand, was ranked ahead of them, which should tell you all you need to know about the way the committee still acts and the way they still govern, the way they still rank teams. Alabama, of those three, was the weakest link, in my view. Now, to the point about where we go, SMU getting in and Alabama, Jennings played a great second half. Rhett Lashley called a remarkably solid game. They were playing a Clemson team that was really, really almost at home. They played in that environment, in that ACC title game, multiple times, and they had a crowd size factor that was very much up with them. They're only 2 hours from Clemson. I know that because the Carolina Panthers played their preseason games before they had the new stadium. They played them in Clemson in 1995 and 96. I was doing their games. I know. So that was Clemson country where SMU was having to play. So they earned the right to get in. And this notion that if you don't have top 25 wins this year, based on what we saw with the parity fellas in college football, what's really the difference between a 9-3 Duke, a 9-3 Louisville, or a 9-3 South Carolina, or a 9-3 Ole Miss, or a 2-loss Miami? Not a lot. Not a lot. So teams that are ranked between 26 and 45, I mean, those are wins that do count. I mean, not just the top 25 wins count. Okay, so again, all those things get swept under the rug, David, when you've got one carrier for the college football playoff that owns all the rights.
Sure.
And by God, this is what they want. Mm-hmm. The committee, to their credit, didn't give them all that they wanted. So I give them a nice golf clap for the job they did this year. But you can't tell me, watching and listening and reading what was going down, that they really wanted to get that fourth team in from the Southeastern Conference. As badly as they could possibly want something, they wanted that. And that's just fundamentally wrong. Alabama had no business being in the college football playoff this year. Even among the three lost teams, that group, in my opinion, was worse than both South Carolina and Ole Miss at the end of the year.
Yeah. I do quickly, but Blaine, I want to get to you.
Go ahead.
I agree with 95% of what our friend Tim Brando, but I'm always the contrarian, so I'm going to be the contrarian. I agree with you when you look at, I think Illinois, not enough people talked about Illinois' resume at the end of the year.
Brett Bielema
did. He even
retweeted. He stuck it in Lane's face.
With numbers. Like, then he was like, well, we're ranked better than you are in that category.
That's right.
You know me, Timmy B. I want what's best, and I know you do too. But when you look at the three teams, Alabama, South Carolina, and Ole Miss, and you look at the full year, the full body of work, I agree with you. Out of those three teams, South Carolina was playing the best at the end of the year. You will not get an argument for you. That's one of the last teams that I would want to play if I was like a 5 seed or a 6 seed or something in this tournament, and they were the 11 or they were the 12. Right, I disagree with is that I think head-to-head has to matter in this situation because, to me, everything was so close on the periphery. I think Alabama-Ole Miss was a harder argument than Alabama over South Carolina or Ole Miss over South Carolina because at the end of the day, when a lot of these parts are equal and you look at the resume, and the resume between South Carolina, Alabama, and Ole Miss were pretty close, I think the head-to-head has to matter. And I just I know you know that. But another point I want to make is, I am all for getting teams that are playing well at the end of the year, that being a good thing in your corner. Mm-hmm. But in that same token, what if you have a team that, because South Carolina didn't play great at the beginning of the year. They barely beat Old Dominion. Remember, we were looking around like, oh no, it's going to be a disaster. At what point do we sit here and say, well, if a team played good at the beginning of the year and they're not playing as good, they've shown the ability to play good at one point, as opposed to another team that's playing good at the end of the year and didn't play good at the beginning. That would be my only issue, but that was the crux of that ranking. I was more pissed off with where they had Miami, Timmy B. That's what didn't make sense to me. Either you put them in front of all three or you put them behind all three.
Yeah. No, I don't disagree, but let me just say this because I want to move forward here. I know it's the first time you guys have had me on since.
I know, it's a lot. Big plate.
But the bottom line is, we solve all this when we go to 16. Just go to 16, and I don't think we have much of a problem at all.
Really?
You get all three
the 17th
of the SEC
team.
Teams?
The 17th team isn't going to make the. I thought the 12th team was supposed to solve all this. I thought arguing over three and two losses.
People that were saying that are the people that don't follow college football. Okay. That's what the guys on Daily Cable, okay, that are talking about Aaron Rodgers and Bronny.
How does four more spots, though? How does four more spots make up that big of a difference, though?
Because the game is a game of evolution now. College football is going more in the direction of the NFL. And because of the fact that these teams cosmetically are changing dramatically from year to year, it's not just stockpiling recruits and gray-shirting players. Teams are going to change more dramatically. It's one of the reasons why teams like Boise State and Washington State lasted so long this year as being credible teams that were in the top 15 to top 20 all season long. Okay, that's just – they didn't have necessarily as much – now they will the next year. Washington State's lost a lot of their roster, but they didn't a year ago, right? And Boise State, Genty returned to go along with a lot of other guys that were back. And by the way, some of these teams we're talking about that have played together for a long time, especially after this break that we've had, like I believe Indiana's going to beat Notre Dame. Despite what you guys said yesterday, Indiana's going to beat Notre Dame. Here's why. Intangibles. It's not just about what your third down conversion rate. It's not just about yards you give up against the rush. How many explosives and dynamic plays can Notre Dame make versus, you know, maybe a pedestrian wide receiver core? You know what's Rourke's got a team around him that's played together for a long, long time. And he fit right in with what Cignetti wanted to do. And that's a group of winners from James Madison primarily. And they go into South Bend with house money. Boise State's going to – the only problem Boise's got is they have to sit another week. I think they'd rather play a home game. If we had the seating done properly, that's probably what would have happened.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's the biggest issue. And the one area where Klatt and I do agree is, you know, the conference championship top teams didn't deserve buys necessarily. They just didn't. Yeah. And the ones that got them and the others that are having to play are misseeded to such a point that the loser of the Big Ten title game, Penn State, arguably on paper has an easier road than the team that won the thing, Oregon. Yeah. And I know Penn State played them okay, although I will tell you, watching the tape after the game was over, I never thought Penn State was going to win that game. Mm-hmm. Oregon had control of it from stem to stern. But those teams, they're not seeded properly. If we go to 16, eliminate this bogus rule about who gets buys, now we're talking one place 16, two place 15. Well, let's go.
In the final college football playoff ranking, BYU was 17th, and they were 10-2. They are very angry at you right now.
Well, like
you're 16th. So mad right now.
Well, to that point, though,
they had their chances too. They were playing key games at home. Not get it done.
It's interesting because you look like, all right, the 17th team won't get in, but with the rules we have with conference champions, Clemson finished ranked 16th and they got in. So maybe BYU. It just we just need to all sit down in a room with people that care about ball and figure this out and come to some middle ground.
I do think we will go to 16.
Yeah.
Primarily because of money, as Beano Cook used to say, God rest his soul. Every time they make a change, it's because they have an endless supply of financial need, okay? They fired too many coaches and made them associate athletic directors, and they got all this debt money. They need more. And that was before revenue sharing started.
Your Beano Cook impression
is so good.
If you grew up in the ESPN era, your Beano Cook impression is – there's some people in our audience that are young that have no idea.
I have no idea who that is.
Who are going to go look it up and be like, that's your best impression. I'm telling you right now, that is your best impression.
I want to know how many impressions Tim really has.
Hey, listen.
Tim impression.
Let's get a round
tracker.
Of golf in.
Yeah, let's get a round of golf in. We'll see.
There is Coach Holtz, who I'm sure – Lou is probably at this stage having an out-of-body experience, knowing that Indiana is a very, very dangerous team coming in. I can hear him now saying, you don't have to be the best team in the country. You just have to be the best team today. Be the best team today, and you'll be playing for being the best team in the country. Just don't worry. Just play like a champion today. and you'll be fine.
He loves him some Notre Dame, buddy.
Oh, if you'd have told me that Tim Brandon would have been doing a Lou Holtz impression on today's show, I would have paid a lot of money. Tim, I do agree with you on Indiana plus 7.5. I think it's one of the best bets of the weekend. We're going to get to the chat here. They got some questions for you. We're going to go with Sam Kim. Right. What's up, Sam? Says, Tim, with recent changes in college football with NIL and the portal, could the could the balance of power be going from the South to the North? What do you say, Tim Brando?
I don't think that the balance of power will ever leave the South because of the players that are always coming up in this part of the country and what it means to play college football. I know guys that are still playing today. And I know that there's this stereotype out there that every player that comes to college and gets a scholarship is planning to be in the NFL. North Carolina's counting on that with the hiring of Belichick, right? They are.
Yeah.
But I'm here to tell you, there are still players that would be at least three-star talents in the South, that's dream would be to play at Alabama or to play at LSU or to play at Ole Miss because of the legacy factor that we have in the South that I don't know exists except in a few spots in the Big Ten. Not all of them, but a few spots, places like Michigan and Ohio and arguably in Wisconsin. You know, it doesn't matter like that at every Big Ten location, but it does at a good number of them. But in the South, it's true everywhere, absolutely everywhere. So I don't necessarily buy into that, but I just think that the regionality of the coverage of college football has got to change, okay? The Southeastern Conference is the best league year in and year out, no doubt about it. But the manner in which the sport is covered, where teams like Arizona State are a blip on the radar screen, nobody talks about them, that is a crock of expletive deleted. Why the hell isn't anyone talking about Scataboo? Why the hell isn't anyone talking about Dillingham and the quarterback whisperer he is? He made Bo Nix a pro before Andy Schein got there to take over at Oregon and get Dylan Gabriel in there. And what did he do now with Arizona State? Why are they where they are? Well, they were playing a fourth-string quarterback when I had him against USC in week four last year, and Scataboo damn near beat USC on his own. Mm-hmm. That was the first sign that we knew Caleb Williams' team, post-Heisman Trophy, was going to go in the tank after a 4-0 start. Dillingham goes out and gets a quarterback that's given them balance. And that's the other team I'm going to tell you. Besides Indiana, I really like – now, unfortunately for them, misseeding, and because they got the conference buy-in, the championship, I know that that's something Brett Yormark fought for. I think they'd be better off if they were playing a road game this week. I really do. Yeah. I really – but that we've got to understand that the sport, by God, is national. It's not just the SEC. It's not just the Big Ten. And Michigan and Ohio State are the big two. That's crap. You better get past that. The college game has morphed into a national sport. That's the best part about what's going on this year.
Yeah.
Now, the media had better catch up. Okay? If you're at Fox and you don't know what's going on in the Southeastern Conference or the ACC, shame on you. Mm. If you're at ESPN and ABC and you're just completely disregarding Arizona State, Iowa State, SMU, shame on you. It's a national sport. It needs to be covered in such a manner.
Yeah. Well, that's what I always say. Like, and a lot of people in SEC country like us, we love it so much. We want everybody to love it as much as we do. Mm-hmm. Like, I think some people in the South want to gatekeep college football. Now, make no mistake, we'll always think we do it better than y'all. Like, that'll never change. But we want it. It's like if I opened up a lemonade stand all over the South and people loved it. Well, that's great. I can make a lot of money in that lemonade stand all over the South, but I want people on the West Coast to love it. I want people in the Northeast to love it. There's a lot more money made, and it's better for the overall financial part of the lemonade
stand. Some of my earliest memories with college football is USC playing Texas for a national championship, Miami playing Ohio State. Like those were national games that were sort
big
of
time.
The foundation of my love of college football.
Without a doubt.
No question.
All right.
No
one more, and then we got to get Timmy B out of here.
All right, let's go to a $3 donation from the Big U. Appreciate it. It says, Mario Cristobal, with all that talent, can even make it to the playoffs. Timmy, is he in some hot water next year?
Well, I think all of them are to a certain extent. I mean, not anyone that was close this year that felt like they should have gotten there and didn't probably doesn't feel a seat warming up. But the truth of the matter is he got them further than they've been. And I think that the water's still warm down there. Okay. It's never going to suddenly cool off. Mario probably knows that as well as anybody. Best way for him to shore up that problem is to be better. You know, he needs to be better with in-game decisions. You know, he still recruits tremendously, and he will get, I don't doubt for one second, once Cam Ward is gone, he'll get somebody in there really, really good. And yeah, could it be John Mateer? Yeah, it could be. Could there be a change made? Could John wind up doing what the guy that was at Wazoo before decided to do? Mm-hmm. No question. How quickly did Cam become a Heisman front runner? You know, I told you guys at the beginning of the season, I thought Miami would win the ACC and not lose in the conference. Well, I was wrong on that, but I was close, really close. And the reason was Cam Ward was a transformational player. John Mateer is every bit the transformational player that Cam Ward is. So yeah. I would right now tell you that Miami, given what's returning, given his ability to recruit, and if he gets a guy like Mateer to come in, right now they're my favorite to win the ACC next year.
Mm. Yeah, well, and on your way out, Timmy B, I had somebody that I was talking to, a buddy of mine that's still in the coaching profession, that was like, you know what blows my mind? I mean, mm-hmm. we didn't really argue about it, but we kind of had a little back and forth. He's like, how you on one hand can be like, oh, Mario Cristobal should be on the hot seat, but on the other, because they've gotten close but haven't gotten there. Yeah. But on the other, if you believe that Mario Cristobal is on the hot seat for not getting in next year, how is Lane Kiffin not on the hot seat for not getting in with this team? And the only thing I told him was the only difference, I think, is that Miami has been there before. Like, Miami has won national championships before. Their fan base has seen them do it. Ole Miss is still on that build to, we're almost going to crack that glass ceiling, so maybe there's a little bit of a sturdier floor under. And that's not a shot at Ole Miss. That's just the facts of the case, Tim.
Just truth, yeah. In the modern era of college football, post-World War II, it's certainly for the baby boomer generation, which I was part of. You know, I'm still old enough to remember when Ole Miss was in the national title hunt in the early 60s, okay? I remember that. And I remember when Archie Hou was Archie Manning. And I remember how he spoiled LSU's opportunity at going 11-0 and playing for a national championship when he beat them in one of those very rare years when Charlie McClendon was able to beat Bear Bryant in 1969. And Archie did it. He did it in Jackson, and he did it with his legs and with his arm. But very few people in the modern era remember that part of Ole Miss football, okay? There hasn't been that rekindling. Now, Billy Brewer got his team to a Mazda Gator Bowl in 1990. Someone reminded me of that by tweeting me this week with some video of me hosting in a tuxedo with Mike Godfrey by my side. And Lee Corso were covering the national championship game in Miami that year. So, and again, most of the guys, including my partner now, Devin Gardner, who I think was born in 92, just had his 33rd birthday. He wouldn't know that. And you guys wouldn't either. But the reality is that was about as good as Ole Miss had it play on a New Year's Day game. And so that's the only difference. The only difference is Lane and the fan base there connect because they know they've never had it this good, this consistently. Yeah. And the Lane train is their train. They're on it. Miami is basically a school that really, even when they were great, when Erickson was there, when Jimmy Johnson was there, when Schnellenberger was there, they were Hopalong Cassidy fans, okay? They showed up for Florida State, and they showed up for Florida, but they didn't show up for West Virginia. They didn't show up for Virginia Tech. It was basically a pro crowd. But when they won those national titles and when they began, you know, the Michael Irvin period, it's all about me, and they were playing with Vinny, you know, Vinny the Guinea took them to the Fiesta Bowl in 86, and they had this powerful, powerful thing that was with them. It was changing the face of college athletics that they've gone ahead and made documentaries about. Then people got on board big time. But Miami fans are a lot different than an Ole Miss or even a Florida State fan base, which is always collegiate all the time.
Yeah.
That's why you got a mentality of media in metropolitan Miami that's still pro-based, not college-based.
Yeah, that makes all the sense in the world. But speaking about good and consistent, every time you come on here, man, it's great and consistent. Tim Brando, we appreciate you, brother. Good luck. You said you got St. John's and Providence coming up Friday, right?
Yeah. When Sean takes a breath at the two-minute timeout, flip over, okay? I'm not expecting the world to be watching, but we will have some quality hoops. I had a buzzer beater last week. And if you watch any college basketball during the week at night, man, it's delivering big
it's
time.
It's awesome.
College hoops is alive and well.
Yeah, we may have to start talking SEC dominance there, Timmy B, but I don't want to get you fired up on a Tuesday.
This just in, SEC fan. You're a better basketball league than you were a football league.
Wow. Oh. He always goes out with a mic drop. Tim Brando.
That's fact.
Mic drop.
From the Chateau. Thank you so much, brother.
Appreciate it, Tim.
Thanks to me.
You got it.
All right. Tim Brando, always a great conversation. It's been too long since we had him on. All right. Going to get to the phones in 1 second. 1-855-236-3228. Coney, you tell me when you want the alley-oop. Let's get back to the chat here.
All right, let's get to some of these donations. I guess I have to scroll back up. Let's go to a $10 donation from Shane. Appreciate it, Shane. Said Bama should be more upset with Texas if they're going to complain. Texas got an easier conference schedule and took advantage of it. With that said, don't lose to a game to Oklahoma with no touchdown scored.
Yeah, well, here's what I meant on that. Again, I think multiple things can be true at once, but the overarching thing is Texas did not have the hardest SEC schedule. Nobody's going to argue that. They played Georgia twice. They lost to them twice. They lost one game during the regular season. We got to remember that, too, though. Texas only lost one game during the regular season and then lost the conference championship. Alabama lost three games during the regular season and got absolutely destroyed by Oklahoma, who Texas destroyed. So, like, again, I can understand if you're an Alabama fan saying that schedule is BS compared to ours. You would be right in that point, but they handled what they had to handle to get in. And it wasn't the non-conference that got Alabama. It wasn't even the top dogs in the SEC that got you. That's the whole point. It's not like you ran into Georgia and lost. You actually beat them, but you lost to Vanderbilt and you lost to Oklahoma. And those two are what ended up getting you at the end. I know you had the third loss, but that's what got you. You didn't handle your business against the teams you should have beat.
All right, let's go to Cat One. He says, bring back the BCS and add one game for the national championship, basically a four-team playoff, and it'll all be fixed.
Why can't we just take the 12 teams, use the BCS formula to get the 12? Why not meet halfway? Black Eyed Peas this thing?
All right, let's go to a $2 donation from Nick. Appreciate it, Nick. He says, careful now, fellas. Without the University of Michigan, the Big Ten wouldn't even exist.
He's going way back.
Yeah, I don't read anything post-Civil War or pre-Civil War, so I don't know how that happened.
Didn't they also exclude Notre Dame from joining the conference?
I think
that's what Notre Dame fans are always quick to tell me anyway.
Let's go to Frank Hacklitz. Appreciate it, Frank. The fact that you're all missing that both the SMU and Clemson would lose to a 6-6 Oklahoma. Stop with the BS. South Carolina and Bama both got robbed.
Okay. So in that theory, then Georgia State should be in over Alabama. If we're going to use your logic, because they beat Vanderbilt, who beat you. See, this is why playing this game, Frank, you said his name was?
Frank.
This is why you will lose every argument that you get into when you debate somebody that has half a brain that works when it comes to this. It's because you don't think it all the way through. You think about it from one side, and you say, you know what? I'm going to use the transitive property to make an argument. But you don't realize there's a second half of that that comes back and it absolutely destroys your logic. We can do this and play this game all day. That's why it doesn't work. You know where it would have worked? If South Carolina would have won 10 games. If Alabama would have won 10 games. But you didn't. So now we go into this intrinsic world of let me use the transitive property to try and make a point. But then it falls back on me because you stop thinking halfway through it. And that's why you're wrong. I mean, I appreciate you watching.
Frank, we love you.
We love you, bud. But like, just what I'm telling you is don't use that argument to other people. Because if they know what they're talking about, they're going to roast you.
I think the more effective case to make would be to say, how much would you rather see Alabama playing at Penn State this weekend rather than
SMU? Just say that.
Because you'd win a lot of people over across the country to say, man, I do wish Alabama was playing Penn
State. That's a much better argument, Frank. That's what we're here to help you with.
All right, let's go to the phone lines here quickly. We're going to start with Kyle in Texas. What's going on, Kyle?
Hey, how we doing, guys?
What's up, Kyle?
Not much. Real quick, before I get to my question, I'll say it made me smile a lot to hear Tim Brando's Lou Holtz impression.
It's pretty good.
And I think it's the second best one on this.
The second best one that was in the studio at that moment in time.
Yeah, I'm inclined to agree. And friendly reminder, we do still have a chance for Lou Holtz and Ryan Day fisticuffs if Notre Dame and Ohio State make it to the championship.
Am I crazy, though, for thinking, what if my people reached out to Jake Paul's people to set up a fight between Lou Holtz and Ryan Day? He's in the space of let's go to the nursing home and whip somebody's ass. So let's get Lou Holtz will be down. Just tell him Ryan Day wants to burn down Notre Dame.
As long as he
And he will meet him in the middle of the square at midnight. He'll roll up in whatever little chair he has. You know, we'll put a suit on him, all type of stuff.
As long as he doesn't full moon us with the jock strap like Tyson did.
Oh, God. That thing probably's got more wrinkles than an M. Night Shyamalan.
You can't have your ass out and get beat up.
Yeah.
You got to go win the fight after that.
Yeah. Kyle said, shut up and take my money.
What's up, man?
Oh, man.
But real quick, I know there's other people wanting to talk, so I'll be quick. Christmas came to me earlier this weekend. My dad and I are going to go down to Houston to see the Texas Bowl between Baylor and LSU.
Oh, nice. Nice.
So just wanted to ask you guys, I'm sure y'all do a bowl breakdown at some point, but just wanted to get your thoughts on how you think that matchup will go, what we'll see from, you know, Garrett Nussmeier for LSU and Sawyer Robertson for Baylor. And I was really surprised to see how Baylor turned it around. They became pretty damn good this year.
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, there was a lot of talk early in the year about Dave Aranda's is Gonzo the Clown. I think the only person who made a bigger comeback this year off not getting fired was probably Billy Napier, when you look at the grand scheme of college football outside of Dave Aranda. Look, I think it's an interesting matchup. I think it's one of the best bets on the board to take LSU because Nussmeier's coming back. You know, I know they've added some guys to the transfer portal. You know, you're not going to see that rear its head in the bowl game, but I think LSU, and I got to see again who's opting out. I've tried to deep dive in it, but it changes every day. Like, I'll find out, like, 2 days will go by, and then all of a sudden, you know, Will Campbell's like, I'm not going to play in the game or something like that. But I think overall I like LSU. But the fact that that spread, I think it's a pick 'em. I think it's minus one LSU right now, lets me know that they think it's going to be a pretty good game. And Vegas, more than the time, is right than they are wrong. I think it's going to be a track.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be a high-scoring shootout in that game. I really believe that.
I hope so. I was at first a little concerned because I'm like, well, it's an SEC school playing a Big 12 school. You know, traditionally that tends to favor an SEC school. But given how, I mean, Baylor was involved in quite a bit of shootouts this year, they almost upset Colorado, which as a Nebraska fan, I will not forgive them.
Well, they should. I mean, they gave up a Hail Mary. I mean, you threw a Hail Mary in the rain. Yep.
Yeah, that was a heck of a game. I wish I'd fallen to the other side, but guys, I appreciate you taking my call, and y'all have a good one.
Kyle, have fun, buddy.
Right, appreciate now, it, buddy. It's 1.5 LSU right, over under 59.5.
Yeah. Gotcha. Yep. All right, let's go to AJ in Valdosta, Georgia. What's going on, AJ?
Howdy, fellas. How y'all doing today?
What's up, man? Good.
Hey, I just real quick one thing, and then I want to ask you a question. So my alma mater high school is playing in the 5A state championship in Georgia tonight against Langston Hughes at 7. So give them a up for that. And then my other alma mater, Valdosta State University Blazers, are playing in a national championship for Division II in McKinney, Texas on Saturday. So
nice.
That's cool stuff.
Yeah, it's a heck of a year for you.
You went to Valdosta High?
No, it's Valdosta State. I went to Milton High School in Atlanta.
Milton.
And Valdosta
okay.
State.
Is Milton's game, because we were talking about this, I believe.
Rusty Manziel?
Because Juju Lewis's school, Carrollton's playing in the state title tomorrow night. Is Milton's game on TV? Because I couldn't find the semifinal on TV.
Or is it just local?
I don't think so.
Anyway, let us know on social media.
They're doing them in the middle of the week instead of
it's kind of weird.
A lot of college coaches are happy, though. They're really happy they're doing it.
So they can watch it. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But anyway, I wanted to ask you guys, like, with this whole, like, expansion of playing and the conference championships, like, rumor has it that the Army-Navy game won't be a standalone game anymore. What do you guys think about that? Personally, I think it's a travesty if they make it not a standalone game.
It's already not a standalone game. Yeah, you know, they played the Celebration Bowl, and South Alabama played their bowl game that night against Western Michigan. So we talked about this before, like, AJ, and I'm with you. Like, it should be a standalone game. How many times are we going to have Army and Navy being undefeated playing each other to see who's going to be in the conference championship game? I think this is the one game a year, right, where the whole college football world needs to be focused only on Army and Navy. Because it doesn't matter if they're both 4-8, if they're both, you know, 2-9 or whatever. I still think those guys deserve a standalone game on a standalone day. And they've already taken that away. And I'm sure they'll add more. I mean, you know, we'll see down the road. But I'm with you. I feel like they should have their own day.
Mm-hmm.
Heck yeah. I agree.
Appreciate it, AJ.
Appreciate it, man.
Go ahead. On Matt Walsh's Racist or Not show. That was fantastic, PJ.
There you go, PJ.
There you go, PJ. Appreciate it.
Shout out.
Nice.
She's an actress, y'all.
Thanks, AJ.
Thank you.
But also,
yeah,
I can't wait to hear the end of that.
Yeah. I can't wait to stop hearing about that in 2.5 years.
All right, let's go to Matthew in Tyler, Texas. What's going on, Matthew?
How y'all doing? I'm a frequent new watcher of the show. I enjoy y'all's content.
Appreciate it,
man. I'm just calling really to see how you guys would react to a couple of statements. I guess the first that comes to mind, I am a TCU fan. And every time that we hear Nick Saban whine about Alabama not getting into the playoffs, he likes to bring up TCU, and a lot of other people like to bring up TCU. But what they seem to never mention was the fact that TCU did beat Michigan.
Yep. Yep.
If they did not belong in the playoffs, Michigan should have took care of business. They felt like it was a more physical team. But Michigan, that's Michigan's fault. So what do you guys think about that? And one more thing, the whole three-way debate between South Carolina, Alabama, and Ole Miss, people also failed to mention the fact that Ole Miss beat OU pretty handily. I mean, they were in control of that game. I wouldn't say they blew them out, but they took care of business against OU, and OU just thrashed Alabama, and Alabama also struggled with South Carolina. But I'm anxious to hear you guys' thoughts.
Well, Matthew, first off, thanks for calling in, man. Appreciate you watching the show. Glad you're here. You know, once you enter the trust tree, it's like Hotel California. You can check in, but you can really never leave. Here's what I'm going to go reverse order. The second one you brought up, yes, people are going to leave out the parts that make their team look bad in most of these arguments. We do this in other things, too. If I get into an argument with my wife, I'm going to probably leave out the part that makes me look the worst and try and package it up to make me look better. That's the natural human condition. But you hope, as an analyst or somebody that covers it, you would be willing to say, regardless of fandom or bias, these are the variables. This is what I think. I can defend it. You can disagree. If you have a logical defense of it, hey, maybe we can just agree to disagree. But you can't just leave out the points that make your team look bad. And that brings me back to your first question. You are exactly right. And I'll be willing to bet you this too, Matthew, is that people never talk about TCU beating Michigan in that first game because they got mopped by Georgia. But that TCU win validated them in my eyes. But you will see the same people do the same thing this year if SMU beats Penn State, right, and then they play Boise, whoever wins that game, people are going to act like they didn't earn it and say, you know what, Alabama should have been in over SMU anyways. Even if they beat Penn State, they'll do the exact same thing because they'll take out the part that hurts their argument the most. And again, we can argue whether you think Alabama should be in over SMU. I think there's some logical reasons why they should. But that doesn't mean you omit somebody that validated themselves being there by winning a big game.
Something else people forget about that Michigan and TCU matchup is even if Michigan had gotten by TCU and gone and played that Georgia team who was undefeated all season, they may have lost in a very similar fashion. Maybe it's not 65-7, but keep in mind the year before that when Michigan made their first college football playoff game, that Georgia team put a whooping on Michigan.
I remember
that year. No one was beating Georgia that year.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just how it was.
I agree.
You know? But we appreciate it, Matthew.
Hey, Matthew, great call, man. Call back in, man.
Thanks, man. All right, let's go to Sean in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. What's up, Sean?
I'll be in Myrtle Beach this summer. First time ever, Sean. Give me a rec. Where do I need to eat?
A couple good places. I'd say there's a Country Fried Chicken right in the middle of Myrtle Beach. That's probably the best place to go. Get that old school.
I knew I liked
food.
You.
Yeah, we're going to fit in well.
Yeah, we're going to be friends. You want to go do karate in the garage?
Yeah.
Nice. Nice.
Well, guys, I just wanted to say I really appreciate you guys having me on. You guys are great. My first question, who do you think is going to make the biggest impact in the portal going to their new school?
Okay, so not necessarily the best player, the biggest impact. Like, which right. team will benefit the most? What do you think, David? Right now, who's in right now?
It's going to have to be one of these quarterbacks.
For sure,
really,
right?
I didn't watch John Mateer play as much as I did Cam Ward because Washington State was in a very different situation. I mean, do you want to make a case for a non-quarterback this year, like an edge guy that LSU signs? Or
yeah, you know, I always look for the linemen because, to me, the highest valued target outside of quarterback in the transfer portal our linemen, and especially linemen on the edge of the line of scrimmage, tackles and pass rushers, defensive ends. Like the kid, I was more excited about the Xavier Chaplin kid that Auburn got from Virginia Tech at tackle than I was about anybody else that they've gotten. Mm. So as far as, you know, you look, the kid, the five-star, you know, I'm going to try and pronounce his name and it's going to be wrong, who was at Missouri, ended up, I think he's at Nebraska now. That's a big get for them. So if we're talking about impact, I like to look at quarterback or the line of scrimmage. If we're going to go outside and go wide, I think the Singleton kid from Georgia Tech, the wide receiver who's in the transfer portal that's down to a couple schools, I think he could have a humongous impact on wherever.
Who you got?
You know, if I had to pick someone other than quarterback, I think Jaheim Otis for Colorado.
Going to Colorado.
I mean, the guy's 6'5", 320 pounds, experience, great with his hands, great with leverage. And I think at that place in that league, you could start having a lot of problems for other teams having to deal with that guy. Yeah. So I thought it was a great get for Prime in Colorado.
This is Zachariah Branch kid here, and he's entered the portal. Could that be a similar situation to, who was it, Jordan Addison, who went from Pitt?
Yeah, to,
out
USC.
To USC.
So doing a reverse Jordan Addison.
Something
basically.
Like that.
Look, and again, a lot of it to me and the way that I would approach the transfer portal is I don't want to build a whole the whole ship out of the transfer portal, but I want to use it to plug the holes on the ship with it, to supplement my roster. You know, we don't talk enough. I don't think people in sports media talk enough about roster management and how important that is. And again, when you have years, especially now with the transfer portal, where you got to re-recruit your own guys, you've got to hit certain number quotas at positions, and you obviously want the most efficient players in those positions on the depth chart. But saying, hey, I love the young group of linebackers that we have. We don't have to go out and sign a linebacker from the transfer portal, but we're down our best corner. We got some young corners that we like, but let's go out there and grab a big-time player to kind of bridge this year while the other guys learn underneath them. That's where I think the most value comes from.
Appreciate it, Sean.
Great call, man.
Great call, Sean.
Fried steak.
All right, we got two callers left and 2 minutes left, so 1 minute each here. Let's go to Tyler in Florida. What's going on, man?
How we doing, fellas?
What's up, man?
First, I got two things. First, y'all were talking about the quarterback to transfer to Miami. Hey, I'm all for it. But if we don't spend a bag or drop a bag on defensive players, I'm going to lose my mind.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
That's where we need help with the most. Also, Jake, good call on the Singleton kid. I was talking to my buddy about that. I like that kid.
A lot of people, they think Georgia Tech, and they're like, all run game, all Haynes King. If you grew up, I remember when Paul Johnson was at Georgia Tech, and buddy, they stayed. They ran the triple option, but they stayed with one on
Calvin
the outside.
Johnson.
Calvin Johnson, Demaryius Thomas. Yeah. They had another freak that was a tree out there. They always stayed with one.
The holidays mean more travel, more shopping, more time online, and more personal info in more places that could expose you more to identity theft. But LifeLock monitors millions of data points per second. If your identity is stolen, our U.S.-based restoration specialists will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Don't face drained accounts, fraudulent loans, or financial losses alone. Get more holiday fun and less holiday worry with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/podcast. Terms apply.
Absolutely. My second thing is, as we're getting into this season, guys, I just want to call in and wish y'all a Merry Christmas. Love y'all's show, what y'all doing for everybody's, you can tell that you're bringing back the love for sports that a lot of my generation has lost due to the worldwide leader and others. And so I just want to thank y'all for bringing that back and wish y'all a Merry Christmas. And Blaine, Die Hard is a Christmas movie.
Mm. No, it's not.
Stay tuned this week.
Just because we got some content
coming out. Stay tuned,
Tyler. It was aired at Christmas time doesn't make it a Christmas movie.
They went from the worldwide leader of sports to the worldwide leader in pissing me off.
Oh, that's true. Thanks, Tyler.
Hey, have a great Christmas, man.
Hey,
yeah, last one quickly. Michael in Alabama. What's up, Michael?
Hey, David. You can find the Georgia State championships on YouTube.
Okay, they go live.
Michael, I'll tell you what. How's it feel to be the MVP today? Yeah. Last caller of the day, most valuable caller.
Matters the most.
Feels good. Hey, Jake.
What's up?
Hey, Jake. Do you think Jimbo Fisher's a candidate for the Wake Forest job?
Mm. Ooh. God, Michael, just Dr. Strange me. I didn't even think about that. Here's the thing, though. Let's really think about this for a second. You're Jimbo Fisher.
He's chilling.
You won a national championship at Florida State. Yeah. You got one locked up, all right? You're out there. You got bought out for $100 trillion. you've got land in Texas that looks like the opening scene from Yellowstone, and you may want to get back in it. You may miss it. But why am I going to step out for Wake Forest? I'm going to walk out of my hunting lodge and say, hey, honey, hey, family, I'm getting back in it. We're going to Wake Forest. Man, I would, nothing shocks me nowadays, but if you're Jimbo Fisher, you would want in, and God, I feel like I'm just, you know what, all over Wake Forest today. I really don't mean anything personal. I just don't think y'all really care that much. Hey. There might be, what, one, two of y'all watching that root for Wake Forest? Like, so I don't even know who I'm really pissing off, but I would be surprised, Michael.
You'd have to in-state recruit against Bill Belichick at North Carolina now.
Yeah, good luck.
Thanks, Michael.
Let's put the War Eagles.
Hey, Merry Christmas, Michael. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, everybody,
great
for calling
today.
In today.
All right, let's get to the board. Last night, had a push. Jordan Addison, for some reason, they forgot to throw it to him in the red zone, but they won. What am I going to do, sit here and critique Kevin O'Connell with what he's doing with the Vikings team and Sam Darnold, which is actually nuts? Which, by the way, I was watching that game yesterday. I didn't realize Sam Darnold decided to have his pro day in the rain and not push it in front of everybody. What a gangster.
Hmm.
And was out there just ripping.
I believe even more now.
Yeah, I do too. Look, I'm loving it. All right, tonight, we got college football, so of course, at least one of my bets are going to that. Memphis. TTP over 31.5. Here's a little nugget, guys. Ready? Huddle up. Huddle up. Now shut up. Here's what West Virginia is missing a decent amount of players in this game, but most of them are on defense, including their leading tackler, the linebacker who's committed to Missouri. Garrett Green's going to play. A lot of the offensive pieces are going to play. Give me the over in the game as well, but give me the Memphis TTP over 31.5. They're going to drop a 40-piece. And then Florida playing North Carolina in basketball. The SEC is absolutely just drowning North Carolina in a small puddle of water, it seems like, every year. Auburn embarrassed them in Hawaii. Alabama pulled their pants down in front of God and everybody in Chapel Hill. And tonight they get Florida, who's undefeated. You want to talk about trees running around? You want to talk about a forest? It ain't Wake Forest. Look at Florida's team. They're huge and pissed.
I believe in my picks even more now. Go ahead and give me Memphis -6, -108 on the odds. And then I'll take the game over as well. Memphis, West Virginia, over 60.5, -108.
Over's just
all right, I love it. 1-1 yesterday. I don't know who else thought this, but those games sucked.
They were bad.
Hey, I survived Josh Allen in fantasy. So that's
love football so much. I love it so much. But God, the NFL, it just doesn't hit the same as college football, man. It just doesn't hit the same.
It's not even close. I'm taking Memphis -5.5, -118. And when everybody takes the over, you know what I do? I take the under. Give me the under at 16.5, going off at -1.
There it is.
Oh,
look, he's wearing
yes.
the Han Solo.
Oh, set me up.
Dude, no,
this.
You, bro, it's a good look. It's the Han Solo.
The Han Solo.
Special. I thought maybe Steve was going to put you in that in the action figure.
Look, I like the jacket.
It's a good looking jacket.
Yeah, it's not bad.
It's a vest.
If we did a Star Wars reboot, you would for sure be Han Solo.
Yeah,
I'll take that.
Yeah.
I'll take that to the bank.
All right, Ace, what do we got? He's going to take Florida -3.5 at -108 and Duke at home against George Mason. If you can't beat one guy by at least 20 points, you shouldn't be playing. That's at -112. That's still my favorite joke. I still think the funniest things I've ever said on this show was when we were doing the college basketball tournament and we were making picks and I said that Oral Roberts couldn't talk their way out of this one. I don't know why, but that one got me.
All right. If you donated today, thank you so much. We went off the rails at some point in this show. I don't know if I can read all these, but I'm going to try.
Now they'll be more funny.
$2 donation from famous African-American Blaine Crane. Will Auburn bounce back with JFA?
I'm guessing that means Jackson effing Arnold.
Yeah.
I'm guessing that's what that means. What was the name of that handle? Did they just internet blackface you?
I think so.
You're probably going to jail now, even though you didn't do
it. I just read what they put in the
Look, the potential's there, but I don't think Auburn has time for potential. Look, he went to the roulette table and bet on green. That's what he did. You bet on green. You could have bet red. You could have bet black. Hell, you could have just bet it for an even number. But you put it on green because if it hits, that's big money. Congratulations. Ooh, there's only one slot. It's right there.
$5 donation from Ryan. Appreciate it. Preview of my Mountaineers tonight versus Memphis. # make West Virginia football great again.
Look, Rich Rod coming back home. A lot of times people pick against the team that just lost their head coach. And I went back and looked at it. I think it's close to 50-50, just like it seems like everything is in betting. I think the over is a really good bet tonight, which, you know, talking about it this much means the under is definitely going to hit. I'm just, I'm wondering if West Virginia can cover. It was up to, what, 6.5, I think, before the show, but was it 4.5? Then it bounced up to 6.5. I'm worried about that West Virginia defense because Memphis, Mario Kidd's at running back still. Seth Hennigan's getting ready to go play in the NFL at quarterback. They're all together with Silverfield. So I think that's why I took the Memphis TTP.
$10 donation from Dave. Appreciate it, Dave. I'm sure the Indiana-Notre Dame game being on Friday was helpful, but how hard was it for you guys to decide between the Tennessee and Ohio State game for a live stream? Just curious.
Well, we wanted to do the first one.
Yeah, we wanted to do the first one, and we were wondering. We were having conversations for weeks, man, which one's it going to be? Will it be the 8-9? Will it be the 7-10? But can't go wrong with any of them.
No, it's we wanted to do the first one, and, I mean, it's an in-state matchup. And what's funny, the place where we're going, both those guys are from the state of Indiana.
What are the odds?
Yeah, it's going to be
fun. $2 donation from Richard, laid in a pipe third.
What?
He says, no one can compete. Respect it, Richard. Yeah. Let's go to a $5 donation from Jeremy. Appreciate it. Good teams missing the playoff is a good thing because the playoffs should mean something. Keep the regular season special and the playoffs too.
I agree with that 100%.
Let's go to a $5 donation from Pappy Trappy. Says, y'all's segment on impactful college football players was all offense. Could we possibly get your guys' most impactful defensive players for the college football playoff and why?
I was thinking about that on the drive
home.
That's
a good thought. But, I mean, look, offensive guy, especially at quarterback, like, I mean, that's, yeah. You know, I don't say low-hanging fruit, but that is a big deal. And I think, you know, the Scatterboo thing was more about a wholesome look at what it does for the team. As far as defensive players, I mean, you look around the league. The Birch kid from Oregon on the defensive line is an absolute freak. They got a couple, but his ability to run and change direction, I think he's a guy that can make a big play late in the game. I mean, Texas, I love the Taft kid.
What about Dan Jackson, Georgia?
Dan Jackson.
Just coming down.
Yeah, I think Caleb Downs from Ohio State.
Yeah, good one.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, Dan Jackson, you went to, he's going to sell you insurance and then blow you up when you run it
over. Abdul Carter.
Look, yeah, we can look into that.
$2 donation from Josh. Appreciate it, Josh. Top 12 teams only selection before conference championships.
There's a way I could agree with that if the structure of how you got to the 12 had a heavy dose of computer and a little bit of subjectivity, I could see a way which we could come together on that.
Let's go to $5 donation from Johnny. Appreciate it, Johnny. College football can overcome NIL era and be successful, just like Jake overcame his list, become a successful podcaster. Stay positive, fans.
No, I couldn't wait to agree with you because we're seeing college football do that now. But I've never had a list. I don't know where that was. Once again, a misinformation propaganda campaign by one of these two that are just incredible at it.
Said it happened on a different radio hit.
Yeah. No, it. You're.
See?
No. Here's what happened. I went on Wake Up with Mincy.
That one, yes.
And I had to do it on my phone, so my audio made it sound like I had a lisp. And then it was brought up in All Access, and Han Solo over here ran with it and kept saying it was true, like I used to have one or whatever.
Look, I have no room to make fun of you. I can barely read. $2 donation from Jose Pena. Appreciate it, Jose. Says FBS should just copy the FCS playoff format.
Not the first person to say that. What are they at, 24, though?
I thought it was even more than that.
Is it more than 24? Well, they said the NCAA tournament's going from like 72 to 76. I mean, at this point, we're going to have Lady Ballers can make it.
Yeah.
Which hey, maybe.
Talking about a good tournament.
Yeah, Lady Ballers, too. The
yeah, I think you're right. It's 24.
Yes, 24.
$2 donation, not from the Humping Badger, but the Humping Badger's lawyer.
Oh,
says,
God.
Is Luke Fickell on the hot seat next season?
I think he's another name. Mm-hmm. I mean, at what point? I mean, we talk about Lincoln Riley and Billy Napier and all these other guys. I mean, Luke Fickell's up there in Wisconsin. It's not like he just got there yesterday.
$2 donation from Bootylicious Blaine Crane. Says, everyone step aside. The Handle King has arrived.
Bootylicious Blaine Crane. That is a horrifying order.
$2 donation from your grandmother. I'm not going to read that. He says, I object. I have the best handle. Sorry, buddy. I can't read that.
Awesome. We got a handle war.
The show.
We got a handle war.
$5 donation. Last donation of the day from Tim J. Scott. Appreciate it, Tim. He says, guys, I feel like Alabama was a better team than SMU and should have made it to the playoffs. I know they had 3 losses, but how much does the eye test matter?
See, that's the argument that I think you make if you're on the Alabama should get in over SMU. Not Alabama would beat a 6-6 team on a neutral field. Well, you lost to a 6-6 team on their field who lost to Georgia State. So that's what we're saying, Frank. Don't go down that road. But as far as Tim, here's what I think about the eye test. What I proposed is you have four categories that choose the 12, right? 25% strength of schedule, 25% win-loss record, 25% a committee of people that are ball knowers that have no affiliation, obviously with a school currently. They could have been somewhere before. But then the last one, and this is the one I get the most kickback from, is 25% scoring margin that can be capped. The reason is three of four out of those are objective numbers. You can like them or not like them, but they're objective numbers. The committee would be the subjective part. That's the mix that I think is just right, but everybody likes their porridge different.
Quickly, $2 donation from Dalton Hudgens. Appreciate it, Dalton. Dabo's taking transfers in. What in the world is going on?
Yeah, we got to do a whole thing on that.
I know. I tweeted Dabo Sweeney showing up to work after getting a guy to the transfer portal was a boy from Napoleon Dynamite, the brother. You know, when he's dating the black girl and he starts like listening to rap and stuff like that. What's his name? What's the guy's name in Napoleon Dynamite, the brother? Kip. Isn't it
there
Kip?
There you go. Good job.
You didn't like Napoleon Dynamite?
No.
You are a lover and also a hater. All right, let's get to the poll.
All right, will Alabama win the national championship in the next 5 years? Yes or no?
No, 68%.
Will Alabama win a national championship in the next 5 years? No. You're saying what?
No, 68%.
Yes, 80%.
No, 69%.
Where are the Alabama fans today? Where y'all at, man?
Yes, 30%.
Get those numbers up. Come on.
No, they agree with me. And you're right. Shout out to our sponsors, Good Ranchers, Responsible Man, our boy Timmy B for hopping on. Make sure you check him out. While it's basketball season, you know he's still going to be giving you great football takes. And like the chances of the handle war going on in the chat not being amazing, even though I can't see it, we're going.
Mm.
Gone. I'm telling you, I've been in the gym working on my fitness.